With me today is Dr. Andrew Bernstein. Andy is a PhD philosopher. He's my resident philosopher. I love it. He's given addresses at Harvard University, Stanford University, recently at RPI, and many, many other schools, and he's given courses around the United States, and they're fabulous. He's recently written a book, The Heart of a Pagan. Andy, welcome back.
Back, Ellen.
Okay. I got an email, and I thought I'd read it to you and let you answer it.
Okay.
Dr. Kenner, I think that the idea of multiculturalism as preached on our university campuses is evil. The multiculturalists are aiding and abetting the terrorist cause by preaching hatred of both America and American values, while claiming to preach brotherhood among men. Cultures are not equal at all. And America's culture is absolutely morally supreme on the planet. Please comment on this yourself and ask Dr. Bernstein to comment on it on this show. Thank you. This is from Paul.
Well, I absolutely agree with Paul on that. And I think to understand multiculturalism, I think we need to do two things. One is to look at what they claim, and the other is to look at what they actually stand for. And the claim, as I said before, is an extreme form of moral relativism, but namely that the culture that you grow up in determines and shapes the way you think. So it's impossible to judge one culture from within another culture. Therefore, all cultures are equal. That's what they claim. Now, the reality is that just as Paul said, cultures are not equal. They're not equal in terms of their ability to promote man's life on Earth, which is the crucial point here. And Western civilization, and the United States in particular, has demonstrated that it's far more capable of promoting the human life expectancy. The standard of living is vastly superior in the West than it is, say, in these Islamic countries. And the reason is because, one, the Western countries, especially the United States, are politically free, and these other, these third world countries, especially the Islamic ones, are brutal dictatorships. And two, the Western countries are essentially secular, so as you pointed out in your show many times, we glorify reason and the mind, which enables us to make all these advances in science and medicine, which promote man's life on Earth, while our enemies are rooted in blind faith, and they don't support the mind. In fact, they'll shoot women in the head for getting an education or reading a book.
Or teaching their children.
They can't make those advances.
Yeah, teaching their children. I like your standard. It's promoting man's life on Earth, which is really the how you judge culture. So if that occurred in Afghanistan, if they were the best in the world at promoting man's life on Earth by using your mind, by introducing logic into the system, by having wonderful prosperity, then we would admire them.
Absolutely, and I hope they do, because the minor point is the people in Afghanistan will benefit enormously. The major point, since I'm concerned primarily with the United States, is that we'll benefit, because not only will they not be terrorists attacking us, but their productivity and their achievements we can then trade back and forth, and both of us get value from it. So I hope they do change their culture. If we take the big picture, we'll remember that 1,000 years ago, Islamic culture was far more advanced than the West, far more advanced, and they were politically freer than the Western world, which was dominated by the Catholic Church, which was particularly repressive in that era. And the Muslims welcomed free thought. They didn't stifle creativity or thinking by ramming their religion down people's throats. You not only had Islamic scholars making advances in science and medicine, but they had Christian scholars and Jewish scholars who were welcome also, who helped fuel their creative growth. So I hope to see the Islamic world move in that direction again, away from the blind faith.
That would be wonderful.
Towards a more rational, secular society.
You know, I read an article by Dr. Ed Locke, and he talks about how the people who say, oh, but that isn't in the Quran, they're wrong. The Quran does call for boiling people and the infidels, and anybody who doesn't believe what they believe are infidels, the Christians and the Jews. But what he said at this was a very interesting point that I hadn't thought of before, which was that when we have religions in the West, we water them down, we infuse them with our lovely Western culture, our love of values, our more humane outlook on life, and so the religions don't have the potency or the killer attitude that they had during the Inquisition or the Crusades or the Dark Ages or currently in the Dark Ages in Afghanistan.
Yes, that's true. And I think the key point here is the commitment to reason as a means of gaining knowledge in the world, rather than going by faith, rather than simply accepting blindly what a revealed text like the Quran or the Bible says. And the Renaissance was a major turning point in the Western world. I mean, the word means rebirth, and of course refers to the rebirth of reason in the mind and science. And so religion still exists in the West. You still have many Christians and Jews and some Muslims in the West, a growing number of Muslims in the Western world. But most of them have accepted the basically secular pro-reason outlook of the modern Western world, and so the religions are much tamer, they're much less virulent than you find in the Islamic world, which hasn't gone through a renaissance, and they're still in the dark ages.
And so the people in the West practicing these religions, not the Jerry Falwells or the Pat Robinsons, of course, but the people, the basic, everyday good people practicing these religions are taking some good things from them, the bingos, the nice elements of them, and they're ditching the fanaticism, the stuff that's really there, the faith-based, give up your life, look for the other life, that stuff.
Yeah, they're, you know, in the West now, like I said, basically secular, pro-reason, pro-freedom, pro-capitalism, so that most people, most Christians and Jews in the Western countries, they don't regard this world as a place of suffering that's a testing ground for the beyond. They want to live well, which is why capitalism has emerged as the dominant political economic system in the West, because people want a high standard of living. They want to live the good life on earth, and they don't want sacrifice in this world to get to heaven. They don't believe that dying in battle in service of God means you go directly to heaven. They don't have any of those faith-based, zealous, fanatical beliefs like they have in the Islamic world today, and like they had in Europe in the Dark Ages a thousand years ago.
They want their kids to be able to go to tennis camp. They want to take them to Disney World. They
exactly.
want them to get a good education and to have knowledge of the sciences. And then they send them to these schools like Brown University. Let me give you, let me tell you.
Unfortunately, Brown's hardly the only one. I mean, Berkeley.
Berkeley recently stole some papers, I heard.
Yeah, thousands from what I heard.
Right, yes. Because they didn't like an article by Dr. Leonard Peikoff in it.
Yep.
That. One of the things that I've heard, and we can talk about it when we get back after the break, is students come up to me, or even past students, adults who lived through the Vietnam era, and they'll say to me, you know, how can you be upset with these students? This is what we want. We want vibrant students out there expressing their views, and you can't have censorship on campus, and you have to allow these kids to hold socialist views or communist views or views that are very anti-American, and I don't see what's wrong with this. This is just freedom of speech, and this is fabulous. You know, when we get back after the break, I would love to hear your comments on how do you tease that apart?
Well, I have plenty to say on that.
Okay, and I'll add one or two more things here. They will say Americans are imperialists. We've got most of the money in the world, and there are so many poor people, and what do we do about them? And they paint us as the enemy. They're coming out of Brown, or they're coming out of the university, seeing Americans, their own culture that gives them the liberty to even say this on campus. They see us as the enemy, and how do you answer that type of an objection? This is Dr. Ellen Kenner, and with me today is Dr. Andy Bernstein. My number is toll-free, 1-877-DR-KENNER. If you would like to ask Andy or me a question, pick up the phone and give us a call, and we'll be delighted to talk with you.
Your radio is tuned to Talk One.